Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Will Gable. We're happy to have all of you with us here on the Edge of Truth. And Sharon will be coming in here in a minute. I've had a little bit of technical difficulties today. I am adding you, Sharon.
Now you can hear me.
Yeah.
All right, good. I'll be back in just a sec.
Okay. So, again, we were having a little technical difficulties here. Glad you're all with us here on the Edge of Truth. Our guest call-in number is 619-789-4304, 619-789-4304. You can call in and we will put you on the phone tree here. Our chat room is also open. We're monitoring that the whole show. So today, we're getting into an arena here of a lot of people are doing a lot of what we're going to be talking about here in the sense of our show is, are you a human computer or a spiritual human self-gnosis realized being? So that's kind of an unusual question there, but it's one that everybody could be asking themselves because the networks, the big nets, internet, the world information networks, they've all pretty much got people's mentality caught up within them. Okay, because people are accessing all these information sources and it's okay. I mean, we're going to need a little bit of it for a practical, functional existence to a degree. But then this is how you kind of get caught up in these, to the point of you become actually just a computer. I mean, the brain is really remarkable and everything like that, but if that's just what you're living on and with, and somewhat that's what you've become to a degree because you're crunching information all the time, and it's coming from these worldwide networks. So this tends to cut us off from any higher level of awareness and consciousness for ourselves and everybody else because we tend to be communicating on those similar levels of informational input. Again, it's not there's anything wrong with informational input. We just don't want to be limited to that context. As you see, everybody's caught up in their cell phones, obviously. And this is part of the way that the human brain and mind, ego mind, can get caught up in its addictions. So this obsessional thing with always accessing your cell phone to find out what's going on, it's okay to have some up-to-date stuff, but there's a lot of people that when they did some studies here, especially with teenagers, and they took away their phones, and this brought the kids into a situation where they felt that they couldn't even communicate. Even the teachers were giving them more kudos, we'll say, for being able to try to communicate with them, because they sit in classes with their phones on and talk to each other on the text wise all through the class. They're not even talking to anybody around them, and they're sure not listening to the teachers. So that was one study that had been done. I thought was kind of interesting in that context of this is how you get addicted. And it, then more so, you're caught up in Facebook, Twitter, or whatever else is going on out there in these social media setups. And so this is how we get caught up in this network of being addicted to being kind of like a human computer. On the other end of things is, have you gotten beyond this? Because the situation is that it can really take over your life, obviously, as it has for most people, if you see them walking around with a cell phone and their head down. On the other end of it, it's what we've been talking about here for 6 or 7 years on the Edge of Truth, is to get into more of your higher self connection, your self-gnosis realization, and get beyond what is seeming normal in the everyday world. So, Sharon, how are you today?
I'm quite good. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being patient with technology. It's kind of interesting. We're talking about, are you a human computer? And at the same time, we're dealing with the situation where we are actually having technical difficulties, which take us straight back to the technical thing. I always get a charge at how spirit can be very
synchronistic.
Yeah, it's pretty funny to see those kinds of things. So what we have here today is in some ways an odd discussion because of the wording we'll use. You're probably all sitting there going, what the heck is that show going to be about?
All
you
right.
might have even tuned in just because it was so cryptic you were wondering what it was about. Either way, welcome. We're so glad you're here. One of the things that I really want to mention that is extremely important here is how we have a situation where we don't really understand this fast-paced life that we're in. We don't really get a lot of time to think about it, and we're finding ourselves just running pell-mell down this path, and we're not even really recognizing how we are becoming our own worst enemy in a way that is disconnecting us further than ever from who we really are. And who we really are is this presence, the spiritual presence that is an eternal, loving, very communicating aspect of ourself. And in the guise of having better communication, like with cell phones and the internet, the reality is, as Will was pointing out a little bit earlier, we have worse communication, worse than ever. So it's become very superficial. It's become on the surface, and it's become now technology interfaced. And more people are having difficulty with face-to-face communication. Texting is really an abbreviated form of communicating. It is not heart-to-heart as far as true heart-to-heart goes, and we're missing the connection that makes communication really sing to us, and that's eye to eye. We're human beings, and we've talked about this before, how the hue is taken from Greek for breath. And the Greeks would discuss our nature and our more than just what was seeing in life to this elan vital, this vitality, this intelligence that was being who we are. And in they were relating a lot of that recognition to breath. Okay. Well, we know that nothing has changed in our recognitions that the breath is life. Without breath, you don't have life. And so we even have ways to technically put you on machines that will breathe for you for a while. Okay, so breath is important. That's the first thing when a baby is born that he must do is breathe. If that baby does not breathe, there is a real issue, isn't there? So that is when your spirit, who you really are, enters your vehicle, your body mind, and becomes an alive human being, in our terms, our understanding. And there's this baby now breathing, and what happens? Beats the heart, starts the brain activity, and those three things then start pumping blood, and the baby starts to move around and be alive. Okay. And then we're happy. All right, so why am I bringing that up again? Because that breath is who we really are. It's the physical manifestation, one of the physical manifestations of our spirit presence. And we are getting more and more separated from that aspect of ourself. And that aspect of ourself looks through our eyes, and it has a drive to connect heart to heart with people. You know, and kind of in a certain way, I think that's where the whole emoji thing came up with technology on text messaging, because it's an effort to try to add a little element of emotion. It's quite castrated and it's very superficial, but it is at least an element of an attempt to try to bring some emotion back into even a text message. And sometimes people just send emojis to each other back and forth, hearts and hearts with packaging and everything on them. What we're doing is we're attempting to try to get back to each other, but voice to voice would touch us in a way that is so deep and would make that emoji look like nothing. You got to admit, you can get a smiley emoji, a heart emoji, but if somebody picked up the phone and you heard their voice and they said, well, I love you and I'm thinking about you, honestly, which one would more deeply touch you? Which one would stick with you for a while through the day? It's the voice-to-voice contact, or it's the seeing eye-to-eye to somebody so that you can have that deeper connection. See, that's the human part of us, okay? Now, I was working with some students the other day, and we were looking at some of the very basics about who we are that have been lost in transition over time, lost through ignorance, lost through language shifts, lost through agendas, lost through religions trying to hijack information to make them their very own unique packaging so that people could stay more committed to the religion, its hierarchy, and keeping it afloat financially than to really making sure that the people are getting the level of clarity of information about who they are so they can be empowered personally. We live in a society that is mind-oriented, mind-focused, mind-functioning. We relate mind with consciousness, and that was one of the things the students really got hold of yesterday, was, oh my God, consciousness, our spirit, is not the same as mind. It's in a mind. And I've said this so many times, but it really needs some time to sink in. That's why we have to say it again and again. It has to go through many different belief structures. It's really got to penetrate through a lot of filtering systems and a lot of things that we're a little bit afraid to open up to something if it really deviates and makes us look at something different than what we've been hanging on to for dear life. And that's usually a belief. But eventually, life takes us through certain things and we feel certain emptiness, and we begin to realize our beliefs have something to do with that. Well, that's part of being the human computer, because the mind comes into and is integrally part of the brain. Now, science, you look at some of the newer science, they're equating brain and mind, and they're equating brain, mind, and consciousness as a unit. Well, is that correct? Is it correct? Is it really a unit? Or is it more like independent things nested together? Is it really, is your spirit, your consciousness really in your brain, as your brain? Or is the brain where everything just kind of comes into, like another car? I don't think you have problems if I say get into your car, realizing that the car is not you. I don't think you have any problems realizing that the car being a vehicle is still not the same as the engine. That you realize that you could get in your car and if there was no engine, you're still not going anywhere, right? That's like the brain of the car. Okay, you need all the pieces to be there. But then the car doesn't do anything of its own. You're the driver. You have to come in and turn things on. Well, this is the same idea as your presence breathing your breath, bringing life into your body, mind. So you are not the body. You are not the brain. You are not the mind. Then what are you? You are the spirit, the eternal consciousness that is breathing your breath, beating your heart, and activating your mind so that you can have organic life. That's an amazing thing. Now, I said that, and I know people listen to me, but they don't get it. They really gloss over it. You really, really, really need to think about that. Think through what I'm saying until something inside of you goes, oh, because you have to reach that within yourself. I can't give that, oh, to you. I can't give you that moment where you wake up to something you haven't been able to see the way you see it when you go, oh. You have to do that for yourself, and you have to do it by really thinking this through and desiring in your heart to say, I want to understand what Sharon is saying, because she's saying this for my benefit. I'm saying it for your benefit. I'm saying it so you can see something that I couldn't see 30, 40 years ago. I was struggling, and I knew I had this spiritual life, and I knew I wanted to be closer to the Creator, and I knew I loved God with all my heart and soul. But I also knew there was something very, very seriously wrong with that relationship. Things were missing that I needed to comprehend. And see, that's what we were talking about with our little lesson yesterday that was just had these students just lighting up like light bulbs as they were putting pieces together. And they were so grateful for being able to no longer be mystified by understanding how they're made. I called that giving them two major keys, the master key, which helped them really recognize you're either in life and resonating with the life, the game of life, or you're resonating with the Creator. Those are simple words, but we had to talk about that a little bit so they got clarity about what that really meant. It was simple, and once they got it, they light up like a light bulb. Then we're able to go from there and talk about, well, how do you think you went from eternity into a mortal being? We called that spirit into body anatomy, and that's what we're talking about here. We're not a human computer. And by the time we got done understanding the anatomy and understanding how an infinite consciousness, your spirit, comes into a mind that then comes into a body, well, that just gave them knowledge of a phenomenal degree, sacred knowledge that people yearned for thousands of years. And we were able to do it in a couple hours. And they're still reveling over how great that is. And I know it's going to continue to unfold with more ahas and more ahas and more ahas, because it did for me. Okay? But it has to start somewhere. We have to start with the basic information. Now, where did this information come from? Well, that's gnosis with a G. Self-gnosis means to know who I am. Is this eternal breath breathing me? And to know where that breath comes from. And to know why that breath can even enter into a body and beat a heart and create brain activity and live a life as a human being. And then, of course, there's a cascade of things that come from that. Then if I did that, and that's who I am, why did I choose to do that? That's a whole other idea. But you see what I'm saying? It's all interconnected. And it starts with really getting clarity. We keep talking about these issues, and we talk about them from different angles, different ways of saying the same thing. Not to be repetitive, but to pierce through all the different blinders so that you can actually see the rose we are talking about. Every time I explain it a different way, it's like you get to see another petal on the rose, a never unfolding rose that's just magnificent. It doesn't have five petals on it. It's got thousands of petals on it. And piece by piece, when you see them all coming together, you realize, oh, it's all quite simple. It's all interconnected. And it's who I am. You want to know who I am, right? Well, you got to stop totally listening to tradition. Because tradition doesn't have the benefit of modern knowledge. And you need modern knowledge incorporated into the sacred understandings to uplift the meanings to where we really need to be. So I'm writing some books, and I've written some, and three are published already, so that you can study this on your own. You sit down at night and you'll probably say, okay, I want to understand myself. And you pick up a sacred text. You may pick up a Bible. You may pick up the Quran. You may pick up, a Veda, whatever. But that's all older literature that is not benefiting from modern knowledge to help you really comprehend what you do need to comprehend. So I'm writing the Self-Gnosis Trilogy, and it's Self-Gnosis, S-E-L-F-G-N-O-S-I-S, but the S-E-L-F and the G are all capitalized, and it's one word. Because that is a signal to you that that information is coming from a pure source. I know this information not by thinking and study, but by coming back into it. I live with it every day. Every day I wake up knowing more than I knew last night when I went to bed. I'm not studying books to do that either. It's just who I am unfolding the rose. And it's beautiful. And then I start to go, wow, that's really cool. And I see how it all fits together. But that's how we're supposed to function. We're supposed to be that cohesive, that together. That's what you're really looking for when you want to be who I am. And then once you know who I am, what I'm here for becomes much clearer to you, because you've got the core key that you have to have.
So it's the truth of who I am.
Exactly. And the truth isn't relative. It isn't my opinion. The truth is what's true with the Creator. It always was, always will be, and it will never, ever change. Because our Creator, God, your consciousness, your Christos spirit, your spirit self, your consciousness that is breathing your breath, it's eternal. And it always was and always will be the same. It will never change. It's always expanding. It's not boring. It's far from boring. It's magnificent. But it's beyond the comprehension of your mind, and it's beyond the comprehension of your body, because those are both vehicles unable to comprehend because they're much smaller. They're subsets of the creation that is God, that is you. And you're bigger than the vehicle you're driving. You know that. Really, you get in your car. Are you bigger and more? Do you bring more to this, to what a vehicle and a car can be? Or a car is bigger and better than you? Do cars have more knowledge and ability to function? Or do they require you?
So, you shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free.
Absolutely.
And so, we ask the question, free from what? This is that cutting edge arena right here. What are you being free from? The world. Be ye in the world, but not of it.
And that's the same as, are you identifying with the game of life, life itself, mortality, belief systems, religions, or are you relating from within yourself, an ever unfolding awareness of what you've always known? You see, self-gnosis is knowing who you are, always have been, at the level of truth beyond the game of life. Because you precede life. That's what we were talking about in class lesson yesterday, too, was we arrived at the recognition that you precede life. Your presence, your consciousness, your spirit precedes life. Yes, it's beyond, but beyond kind of got to be a weird word that's interpreted so many different ways, but you precede it. Well, that slightly different recognition is a big aha when you really get it. That means everything else has got to be less than what you are. You have got to be the aspect that matters. So you want to know that self again. This I've been calling self-gnosis trilogy and the writing of it a new paradigm because it's new to us. But the truth is, it is a forgotten paradigm. You have always known this, but you have forgotten it. It has become distorted. You don't recognize it anymore. So reading the trilogy and looking at the cliff notes and stuff and getting more actively involved with the community that's forming here, talking about and learning about self-gnosis, puts you back in charge of being redeeming and healing your consciousness, which is suffering amnesia. It's amnesia. You're not bad or good. You're always good. But you've got amnesia, and you got to put the pieces back together so you can be empowered again. So I'm going to suggest that you go to the library, or you go to Amazon, you go to Barnes & Noble, you go to Books A Million. You can go anywhere you want on the web and request these books for you. You will read these books and read these books because they are the modern-day rival to the Bible. To Bibles, period. That doesn't mean it's there to fight or contend with what's current sacred knowledge. It is the rival because it is updated, it is upgraded, and it incorporates modern knowledge. You got to have that. It incorporates an understanding of how your spirit is an energy field and you have holy resonance, but you got to get all the pieces right or it's confusing. You must get the pieces piece by piece. And, you know, just in case I should die tomorrow, I've been publishing these books so that maybe you could try to figure it out. At least it's documenting. So the names of these books are The Preface to Your Eternity, Unearth Your Sacred Knowing. That's preface, P-R-E-F-A-C-E, to your eternity, Unearth Your Sacred Knowing. That is a phenomenal book. You'll get a lot. There's a full dictionary in there explaining what the words mean. Because if we're not both on the same page with meaning, nothing is going to happen for understanding. Then the second book, which is not published yet, would be Unlocking Your Belief Codes. Okay, something like that. Like we keep changing it just a little bit to get to that quintessential title that you'll love. But that one is under publication. It's not quite ready. It's not published fully yet. The other book that is published is called Tangle with the Divine, and that's the cliff notes. It's the bottom lines taken out of Preface to Your Eternity and the upcoming books and put into just one or two, three-page chapters to make it easy for you to at least grasp the bottom lines. Now, even that is deep. People are reading it, wow, this is really great. And it'll get you to start thinking about the things you need to have. They're like the quintessential master keys that you need to create a jigsaw puzzle that gives you the forgotten knowledge you need to get back to, which would be your knowing of self, your self-gnosis. And you got to have those keys because it's accurate information. You don't want any information. You want accurate information. Okay. And the other one is the big if in life, discover the biggest purpose ever driving you. And that one is a much smaller book, and it's written in a sassy form, and some people like that and some people don't. But the whole idea of that book was to give you enough information to give yourself permission to look outside of a religion you may be afraid to walk away from, but you know something's missing, and you may be needing permission. And you may be needing just enough information to spark your holy curiosity, much like you spark the engine to the car when you turn the keys. I suggest you go and get a copy for yourself. It's in digital form or in print form. And you read a little bit every night before you go to bed. And when you get to a point in the book and you can't understand what you've just read, stop and go back and read it again. And then go back and read it again till you go, oh, I get what it means. Because not that it's difficult, it's that it's so different to what you believe that you may have to read it a couple times so it can really sink in. Sleep on it, and you'll probably start waking up and going, oh my God, that makes sense. I write these books because I love all of humanity from our unity of oneness, and I want more than anything in the whole wide world for our pain and suffering to stop. And that starts with really getting accurate information about our spirit self so that you can be a human self-gnosis realized being and no longer just functioning in the blind, in the dark, like a human computer. Light and love to you all, and get on those sites. Look at those books. Go to your library. Libraries around the world can order this book. Go get it. Do yourself a favor. Get the information that you currently need to have more than anything else, because it's your information in the first place. It's all of our information. It's our truth. It's that truth, as Will said, that will set you free. Till next week on the Edge of Truth.